This is the Norris Group's Real Estate Investor Radio Show, the award-winning show dedicated to thought leaders shaping the real estate industry and local experts revealing their insider tips to succeed in an ever-changing real estate market. Hosted by author, investor, and hard money lender, Bruce Norris.
On Friday, September 22nd, the Norris Group proudly presents its 10th annual award-winning black tie event, I Survived Real Estate. An incredible lineup of industry experts will join Bruce Norris to discuss perplexing industry trends, head-scratching legislation, and opportunities emerging for real estate professionals. All proceeds from the event benefit Make-A-Wish and St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital. This event would not be possible without the generous help of the following platinum partners: Housing Wire, Coach Fullerton, Coldwell Banker Town & Country, Property Radar, the Apartment Owners Association, the San Diego Creative Real Estate Investors Association, Invest Club, Las Brisas Escrow, MVT Productions, Inland Empire Real Estate Investment Club, Realty 411, and White House Catering. Visit isurvivedrealestate.com for event information and tickets.
Hi, thank you for joining us. My name is Bruce Norris, and today our special guest is Sarah Bonnert. For the last 10 years, Sarah has had various roles in sales, broker, and MLS services at the Zillow Group. Today, Sarah manages the operational and data side of the industry relations. She also leads Zillow Group's Tech Connect programs, which helps agents, brokers, and MLS implement listing data feeds and set up traffic and lead APIs. So, Sarah, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You know, it's hard to believe, but Zillow opened in 2006, and so you've been there for pretty much the duration. Is that correct?
Yes, it is hard to believe.
It is.
Time flies, but yet it seems like it's going slow, but then you look back, and Zillow's been around for over a decade now.
Well, I'm always interested in when the business starts, because there's just times that you go and you're influenced by things. And so your business got started, Zillow got started in 06, and we were in the middle of the best real estate boom ever. And so 2 years later, we are in the most devastating time ever. And I would have to think the Zillow customer base underwent quite a change during that time. So can you discuss that those first few years with us, just to talk about who you thought was going to be your customer and who sort of maybe became a customer you didn't expect?
Yeah. So interestingly, I mean, we talk about listings on Zillow a lot. And interestingly, for about the first 2 years of Zillow, there were no listings on the site. It was just the Zestimate. So we spent a lot of time trying to create a product that people wanted to talk about at dinner parties, right? So that was obviously the Zestimate. And it really brought a lot of people to the site. And Zillow's kind of philosophy has always been, if you can build an audience, then you can attract advertisers. So we really used the Zillow, the Zestimate, to build that audience. And then we got to a certain point where brokers and MLSs and agents started saying, well, gosh, this is a great platform for me to put my listing in front of. And it also came at a time when it was becoming unaffordable based on the economy to run $1,000 newspaper ads, to run, you know, 4 or 5 digit ad campaigns in print. And being able to shift that money to the internet at a almost zero to low cost and get just as many leads, if not better ROI, was very attractive. So we spent the first years building the audience for the product by really looking at not so much what the agent and broker wanted, but really what the consumer wanted. What did the home buyer and the seller want? And then that got the buzz, the viralness of Zillow started. And then we were able to go back to the brokerage and agent community and say, all right, we've got this audience. Would you want to get your listings in front of it? And we spent about 2 or 3 years really going out and getting a couple million listings on the site. And then it really wasn't, I don't remember the exact year, probably 2008 or 2009 until we really had a product for agents to, a premier agent product to help them leverage the traffic in more of an advertising way. So it's really been an evolution. I think it's interesting to think back that far in that we didn't just start with a product. We kind of started with trying to appease the consumer and building that audience up and then circling back in as how can we help the agents leverage that.
Yeah, that's actually very smart. So today, how does Zillow generate revenue? What are the sources and what's the dominant one?
Yeah, so our most dominant one is obviously our Premier Agent program, which it's really evolved. And we get asked this question a lot, you know, what do you see the role of the agent in the years to come? And we really see these agents who take a systematic approach to doing their advertising. So we still tend to work with the top 10-15% of agents in the country who are full-time, very consultative in nature, who are spending money on Zillow to generate leads, and then working with our software suite then to kind of cultivate and manage those leads. And we've gone from just sending a lot of leads a couple of years ago through this program to now even offering a Premier Agent Concierge, where we actually, a lead comes in for the agent, but we'll actually kind of be the front person of that, scrub it out a little bit for them, and then help actually book appointments sometimes for these agents to meet the homeowner or meet the consumer and try to get the lead converted in that way.
This is before the agents even talk to the consumer.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's definitely one of our higher end. We call it our Premier Agent Concierge services, where, you know, we're just trying to help agents who are get inundated with leads try to pick out the warm and the good ones, or at least help get them to the point to where they are at that level in the sales funnel, and then get them belly to belly. And then hopefully the agent can take it from there and close it. That's definitely a high, I think it's like 70% of our revenues now are coming from our Premier Agent program. We do have a mortgage marketplace as well, where we're obviously helping consumers connect with agents and mortgage lenders, where they can say, I'm interested in this type of mortgage, and they can remain anonymous initially in the first part of the process, and then the lenders return real-time quotes back to them, and then the consumer can choose whether or not they want to expose their identity to a particular lender who has offered some type of quote to take it to the next step. And then we have another, we also make money on the rentals category as well as some new construction.
This is Aaron. Sarah, I was really fascinated going through your list of brands, and you're called Zillow Group because you do have a group of brands. And can you talk a little bit about, I was especially interested this year when Zillow Group launched realestate.com focused on first-time buyers and millennials, so they could search by the monthly payment instead of the price, which I thought was really interesting. So can we talk about the brands and the strategies of why? Because some people confuse Zillow and Trulia, and they're not sure on the strategy. And then I definitely see a strategy behind sites like realestate.com, but you have so many. So can you chat a little bit about those?
Yeah, so we definitely do have a number of brands in the kind of portfolio of sites that Zillow owns. And very typically, we continue to maintain those brands to the public. And I guess you could think of it as a cable station where Viacom has a number of different properties that an advertiser can choose to market themselves on. Or as a consumer, you can say, well, I like country music. I want to listen to this kind of a station. Or I like MTV. I want to listen to that kind of a station. And similar with real estate, you never really know why people like Trulia over Zillow necessarily. Maybe they just like green versus blue. And so we want to continue to maintain all of these different brands that can appeal to what the various consumers like. Trulia's got a lot of demographic and neighborhood information. So maybe you're somebody who you're not necessarily as concerned about the house, but maybe you want to know a lot more about neighborhoods and kind of lifestyle. So you might gravitate more towards Trulia, where Zillow tends to be pretty hardcore data, and that's your personality. So you gravitate towards Zillow, and then you just sold on realestate.com. The realestate.com was trying to create a very visual experience, which is what we've found that millennials were real interested in. And you kind of mentioned some of the various search that you can do on there, but an overarching statement about realtor.com was that it was really, realestate.com was that it was really trying to be visual for the millennial and really put photos forward and make them large and big for the consumer to ingest that way. And then obviously Street Easy is very specific to New York. And then we've acquired a few rental sites to help fill those holes, which is a hard nut to crack. And interesting, Craigslist is really all that was out there, which isn't a great user interface. So Zillow now has one of the largest rentals databases on the web with hot pads, naked apartments, and some other properties that we've owned under there.
Naked apartments.
So it all works together, but it was still to the consumer. They have choice in how they want to search and consume real estate data.
Well, I noticed some purchases starting back in 2012. You've got more tech focused more on the mortgage space. Dotloop, which is more in the transaction space, and then Bridge, which is sort of like deals with listing and MLS. So I know it's a little bit nerdy, but I think it's going to be important to cover. Can you talk a little bit about those?
Yeah, for sure. So MoreTech is basically, I like to think of it as a rate engine. So it was a way to aggregate quotes and serve them up. So we obviously had the front end. They had more of the B2B or back end. And bringing the two together really provided a good consumer experience without us having to build our own rate engine. So that was just an example. It was easier to buy than build. What was your next? Dotloop was an interesting transaction. So we kind of look at how can we make sure that Zillow is this marketplace where we're bringing consumers and industry professionals together. And once we do that, how can we kind of ensure good customer satisfaction in this kind of seamless integration? And we really feel that by having this transaction manager in Dotloop, we can make sure everybody's kind of using the same currency in the marketplace, right? So making sure that once they had this really good experience on Zillow searching, they've gotten connected to a really good premier agent, that the good experience continues in that the agent's using quality software to get to close, right? So we've got the front end. We've got this great pool of agents to match the consumer up with, and now we're arming the agents with good software to service those.
It's like, and you don't Bridge, trust agents are going to do a good job being tech forward.
Well,
I'm kidding. Just giving our industry a hard time.
Yeah, no. I mean, we definitely, you know, you look at Dotloop will be the first to say they had a great product, but then once they got acquired by Zillow, they all of a sudden had more resources to propel their product even further faster. So just kind of having the investment that Zillow's going to put into that will really help, you know, arm these agents with a standard good piece of software to conduct the close. And then interestingly, Dotloop just released an awesome API that allows some of that transaction data to flow back into other services that agents and brokers might be using, like a software service or a CRM. So really trying to help move the data around and get rid of duplicate entry.
Interesting. And then finally, the Bridge Interactive too, the MLS and the data. I think it's getting a little nerdy, but I mean, that's the game. Data is Zillow Group's business, from marketing to the consumers. It's pretty important. So can you describe that?
Yeah, for sure. So it does get a little geeky, but it's fascinating. So the Bridge piece, if you were to ask me, like, what do you think Zillow's going to concentrate on with brokers over the next year is the Bridge piece. So we've come real far with syndication. We're getting a lot of the listings on the site now direct from the MLS. The data's rich. It's coming to us in under 15 minutes, oftentimes coming under 3 minutes, depending on the MLS. And we've got, I don't know, 97-98% listing coverage now in the United States. So the front end of it is great. Once you start like peeling back the onions, you've got a broker, like say a broker in Atlanta, who's got basically two MLSs that they need to enter that data into, and two MLSs with different business rules that the broker needs to kind of abide by. So you can imagine, and in California, sometimes you can have up to 13 MLSs, where as an agent, you get a new listing, and you're sitting down to enter that listing, and you have to do it you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, up to 13 times. It takes a lot of time. It's frustrating to the broker. So Zillow said, all right, we want to have great data on the site, but how can we help kind of further up to the kitchen table? How can we help get this listing online in a very efficient way? And that's really where the Bridge piece comes into play. So as a broker, you can have your own interface, enter the listing one time, and then that information will go out to any MLS that you choose it to go to. And then Bridge manages the process of knowing each of those MLS's business rules. So they know that the one MLS only takes 18 photos and this MLS takes 24 photos. But Bridge will allow you to put, if you had 50 photos, and we'll store those photos. We have unlimited K size. We can take 4K videos. You can put as much data as you want into the Bridge system. Tell us where you want that data to go, and then we can take it upon ourselves to know the business rules of each one of those data destination points for you. So obviously, huge benefit to the broker to eliminate this data duplication entry into the system, saves a tremendous amount of time. It eliminates that fingering as you're sitting there entering the data multiple times. You leaves a lot of room for human error. So they think by having this one centralized place for data entry, we can get it out effectively and efficiently. And then we can store some of that data for the broker, so we can store some of those media assets. And they've just recently built, it's pretty cool, a collaboration portion of it. So say I am a broker, I get this listing, I go and I can enter it, and then I can invite my photographer to go take pictures of it. And the beauty of this is the photographer can then put the photos right into Bridge. So in the past, I'd say, all right, I got your pictures taken, here they are, I'd email you or I'd upload to you 50 photos, and then you'd have to take those photos and upload them into the MLS. Well, now I, as the photographer, I can upload them right to the listing. We can work together on the listing in this one centralized place. And then as a broker, you can decide how you want them ordered and what photos you want to go, what photos you don't want to go, to all these different places. So we're really trying to help make more efficient, better efficiencies in this kind of data entry process, which ultimately helps everybody who's, you know, displaying this information to consumers is getting it faster and more accurate. And then we can actually output that data back. So again, it's through the Bridge platform. So if I'm a broker and I entered that data into 13 MLSs, the MLSs can send that data back to the broker, but then the broker has to dedupe all that data, right? And to come up with one database that they can use, maybe to send to an accounting software service or something like that. And we can then just send them back this one database of all of their listings, kind of MLS agnostic.
Sarah, it sounds kind of like there's definitely going to be the sort of the have and the have-nots. You've got the top, say, 10 or 15% that you consider they're a part of the Premier Agent program. I would imagine they view Zillow as one heck of a partner. Mm-hmm. I'm curious how the other 85% view Zillow, and do they participate just at a different level?
Right. So we do have contracts with almost every MLS in the country, and those contracts do the MLS is kind of looking out for the best interest of all of their members when they sign a contract with us, like making sure the listing agent is displayed according to how, you know, the MLS wants us to do this. So you do have this MLS sort of as the watchdog for the larger group in making sure that the basic needs, like the basic listing data, is displayed in an appropriate way. And they always hold our feet to the fire to make sure we're servicing their members in that way. And then there definitely are the, I don't know if you want to call them the haves, like you said, but, you know, these top 10% who are professional realtors who are, this is what they do every day. And they've really systemized their business to be able to go out and generate a large number of leads and follow up on a large number of leads and probably generate more business in that way.
Right.
So, does Zillow think about the part-time real estate agent? Probably not as much as they think about the professional. And I think that just the transparency that the internet brings across any industry really exposes these part-timers that they're going to have a hard time competing, right? If I'm an agent who does 100 transactions a year and you're one that does three, a system like a Yelp or some type of review system, like Zillow has a review system, you're going to have a hard time competing against me. I'm simply going to be able to out-review you. And people want to see reviews on the site. I mean, you don't want to go to a restaurant with two reviews when you could go to one with 100 five-star reviews.
Right.
So I think the internet in itself is kind of exposing the cream of the crop, which is great for the industry, right? I mean, that means the consumers are going to get served, you know, in a very professional manner by somebody who's spends a lot of time really learning the market and learning the numbers and the stats. It doesn't have some kind of holes, like leaky holes along the way. Like they're not kind of losing sight of what's going on with the transaction. So I'm not saying there's nothing on the site for them. They definitely can. It's free to have your listings on Zillow. It's free to get your leads off of it. It's free to have reviews. We've got a Premier Agent app that's free to download, and you can use that as a free CRM. We have a lot of great software that agents can use to really take advantage of the big advertising programs. So we definitely see more of the professional realtor using those.
Let's talk a little bit about the instant offer program. First of all, what is it? How old is it?
How old is it? Oh, gosh.
A couple months?
Yeah, not very old at all.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously, this is an example of kind of the market saying that there's got to be an easier way, maybe a more streamlined, a faster way to sell a house. and you saw a lot of startups kind of come onto the scene and say, well, we're an investor, we can buy. I guess it's not even that old. It's been around forever, and that an investor could come up and we buy ugly houses, right, and take it. So how can we bring, kind of digitalize this and bring it to the market in more of a mass way? And you definitely saw a lot of startups coming in and trying that, and Zillow kind of said, all right, this is something that sellers want. So we are testing it in three markets right now, where a consumer can input information about their home, its condition, any renovations they've done. They can upload pictures. And then we share that with a pool of investors that we put together and a premier agent. And I think that's a big differentiator with the Zillow program versus the companies out there, is that we're saying, here's what an investor can do for you. But if you want to list your house with an agent, here's what an agent can do for you. You know, it might take a little bit longer for the agent to sell it. Maybe, maybe not. But typically an agent can get more money for a homeowner than an investor can. But if you need a quick flip, which some people do, or some people that's just kind of the condition of their house, is that's what they're going to get, they can go that route. But they can see all the consumer inside of this instant offer platforms. They can see all the fees that are going to be charged by the investors. They can see the fees that would be charged by an agent. And they can see their net proceeds for each situation.
Okay.
And then we'll call the seller and we'll send them text messages to try to start a dialogue. They can choose the agent. Great. The premier agent would take it from there. They can choose the investor. And then we actually step in again and encourage them to use an agent if they do accept an investor offer. You know, if they do nothing, that's their choice too. The offers are non-binding. On the flip side, we do require the investor use an agent too. So we feel like we've created this platform that is meeting the consumer needs, but still introducing an agent throughout. It's like still keeping the agent as an important piece, or at least an important consideration that the homeowner should use when deciding how they want to proceed.
So Zillow is never acting as a broker involved in that transaction at all?
No, Zillow's okay. Definitely not. You know, we've always been in the business of connecting the buyers and the sellers with great agents, and this is a huge financial transaction, so this is just another way that we're doing that.
Okay. Do you think this will morph? I know you somehow chose a group of buyers, and I'm assuming that that's because of the size of the business that they do. Do you ever see a time where that'll be opened up to almost like an auction type of a bid process where local investors would get involved? And we've got 30 seconds left.
Yeah, I don't know exactly. I mean, we've only, like I said, it's pretty new. It's been going well. I mean, the agents really like these kind of seller leads coming in. What we are seeing is that the people who are submitting instant offers are very engaged. The agents are seeing double-digit conversion, so we're seeing more people choose to go with an agent right now. Mm-hmm. Again, the test markets are pretty small. So we're definitely seeing they're serious about selling our homes. It's a great list, you know, great potential listings for our premier agents.
And we've run out of time. Sarah, you know what? We're gonna talk a lot more about this on the night. Thank you, by the way, so much for joining us September 22nd at our event. And we've been speaking with Sarah Bonnert, and she's with Zillow.
The Norris Group would like to thank its gold sponsors for supporting I Survived Real Estate. First Lending Solutions, Guaranteed Rate and Nathan Chiboya, In a Day Development, Inland Valley Association of Realtors, Jennifer Buys Houses, Keller Williams Corona, Keystone CPA, LA South Rhea, Michael Ryan, New Western, North San Diego Real Estate Investors, Northern California Real Estate Investors Association, Orange County Investment Club, Pacific Premier Bank, Pasadena Phoebe, Pilot Limousine, Real Wealth Network, Rick and Leanne Rossiter, the San Jose Real Estate Investors Association, San Francisco Bay Real Estate Networking Summit, Sunoco Corporation, South Orange County Real Estate Club, Spinnaker Loans, Think Realty, UDirect IRA Services, West and South Coast Plaza, Wilson Investment Properties, Inc., See isurvivedrealestate.com for event information.
For more information on hard money loans and upcoming events with the Norris Group, check out thenorrisgroup.com. For information on passive investing with trust deeds, visit tngtrustdeeds.com.